Going off far.
Blog Talk Radio.
That was better late than never, let's get it.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, a hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Damn, that track is still hard. What up, War Room family? It's that time again. You're once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined by my co-host, the Blueprint, Jimmy Williams, and the HBC, B. Austin. Jason Collins is back in the NBA, everybody. Boo.
Yay!
Aaron Hernandez is scrapping in jail for his manhood. The NFL wants to penalize players for using the dreaded N-word. And a whole lot more. So make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports so you can join in the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. During the week, make sure you guys take some time to hear more great sports talk from some of our partner shows. Check out Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And check out our homie Brandon Pemberton, the hardest working man in sports, on Sports Trap Radio every Thursday afternoon from noon to 2 p.m. That's Eastern Time. That's also on Blog Talk Radio. But both of these shows will be featured on the upcoming War Room Sports Podcast Network. So make sure you check that out, and we'll keep you abreast of when that launch is going to happen. But in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. It's Oscar week, fellas. Who's going to be the big winners come Sunday?
Yo, anything but gravity.
Anything but gravity. Somebody left
gravity
a comment on the...
Give up on movies for like a good year.
Somebody left a comment on the video we made about the Oscars, telling us, you know, we need to give Gravity as props. You know, I was trying to tell, and if you guys don't know what we're talking about, on War Room Sports TV, if you check, one of the latest videos that you'll see up there is the Oscar picks show. Jimmy and I, you know, we gave our Oscar picks. We analyzed all of the categories, well, the major categories. So you guys make sure you go to War Room Sports TV and check that out, especially if you're a movie head, you know, real movies, good movies, Oscar-worthy movies. Yeah. I mean, I gave it its props, Jim. Like, I said I liked it. Jimmy hated it. but if there was a movie or two that could be thrown out of that Best Picture category, it could be Gravity. It could be Captain Phillips.
Yo, and it's not that. I've seen worse movies, yo. I've actually watched one of the worst movies ever made, ever created, known to man this past week. So I shouldn't say Gravity is that terrible. But at the same time, when you
what
talk
you
about
watch?
The Best Picture, yo, John called Baggage Claim with Paula Patton in it. Yo, Paula Patton might be the worst actress I've ever seen in existence on Earth in the universe.
No Paula Patton slander. No Paula. She's coming
Dog.
Back to the home team. She's coming
yo,
back to
listen,
the home
team. We don't know that yet.
She's coming
we don't
back.
Know that yet.
She might dump
I'm about to say we don't know that
board.
Yet.
obviously, I'm in communication. Like, I wouldn't just say that if I had rap. Come on, man.
No doubt. Well,
I
reserve judgment.
They said dude is doing a lot to change his life to get her back. So it was obviously something that he did. I hear it was just
he was out there on the other team.
Wow.
he went got him one of them 12 years of slave. He got him one of them 12 years of slave, Johns.
Him and his pop like the darker hues.
There's a lot of photos of on the internet acting like he's not married, so that probably had something to do with their breakup.
He had the biggest song of the summer, so he probably he had the biggest song of the summer, so he probably was like dealing with the fruits of that, like, you know, that, a lot of stuff coming.
Out
the biggest song of the summer.
Autumn box office.
Yeah, he was like, I got to take advantage of this while I can because I may not get another song this big ever again. But with that being said, like, in terms of her ability, though, yo, she is a terrible actress, yo. So, put it like this, Gravity isn't that bad. Like, it's not baggage claim bad. But when you talk about the best picture, yo, and bringing it back to sports, it's like, yo, you got players that are good. Like, Hersey Hawkins was a good player, yo, but is he a Hall of Famer? Like, you know what I mean? Like, picture to
don't
you.
Don't make me feel good.
Oh, my bad.
Are you talking about overrated flicks? I mean, that scene, though, I mean, Holly got it beat up for a minute. She had to get it beat up to get it. No, let me shut up.
She got a box bucket. She got an Oscar for it.
She got an Oscar for pornography.
Yo, she should have won an AVN award for that.
Tell everybody what happened this week while they were on the grind.
Absolutely. While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket, go to our website, which is warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and get your weight up. Order a better TV experience. Listen, we know it's not football season, but football season will be coming soon, and you have to get the NFL Sunday Ticket. Do that at DirecTV. Find them at warroomsports.com. With that being said, let's talk about some of these topics that happened while you were on the grind this past week. The first one, TCU's athletic director resigns after posting controversial remarks about Texas A&M on Facebook. Now, we know that a lot of people have gotten themselves in trouble over social media, and it continues, but this wasn't one of the players. This was actually an athletic director. Gentlemen, what's your opinion?
All right, here's the story. Here's what he did. Now, Texas A&M, of course, they had a incident happen at the school, and he posted comments on his Facebook page. It was basically about them. Texas A&M plans to leave 12 empty seats at their stadium in honor of the 12 students who passed away in a bonfire collapse back in 1999. So what he wrote on his Facebook page, he said, if the number of students that were victims of what amounted to drunken, negligent homicide on a part of that cow college didn't match so perfectly with the Colts' favorite number, I doubt you would have seen anything like this done. So he's probably, you know, he's saying their favorite number is 12 because they do the whole 12th man thing just like Seattle Seahawks. So he's saying if it didn't happen to be 12 students who died and what amounted to be negligent, drunken homicide, then they probably wouldn't even be doing this. Called them a cow college, called them a cult. What do you guys think about that? Like,
yo,
the reality is that he's probably right. Go ahead, give him that ether.
What's the reality, though?
Yo, the reality is...
Yo, my thing is, did he have to go that hard, though?
Yo, he didn't. Yeah, that's the whole point. It's like he was totally insensitive to those that, you know, are on the other side of that are being honored and their families. And you just can't do, you don't do stuff like that. You don't do stuff like that. Like, he's out of line, and rightfully so. He's brought negative attention and energy to his institution, so he got to go. I mean, good riddance.
Well, do you think had he not resigned himself, like, do you think he resigned under pressure? Like, do you think he would have been fired?
I think he resigned under pressure from the higher ups. I don't think that the general public or the general student body would have been calling for his head, but probably the board members and folks at the higher level. The trustees were probably tapping him on the shoulder like, look, buddy, it's time to go. Take this golden parachute.
Well, in his resignation statement, he said, I've decided to resign from my position at TCU. I sincerely apologize to all those offended by the post on my personal Facebook page. For the betterment of TCU, a place I care deeply about, it's best that I move on. I don't even think I said his name. The athletic director's name is Greg Featherston. So he's no longer the athletic director at TCU. Social media gets everybody in trouble. We always kind of come at the young athletes who say the wrong things on social media, but this is just another example that, you know, the fact that society now can post their thoughts to thousands, if not millions of people at the drop of a hat, it's not always a good thing. You know, it's great for technology. It's great to see where we've been and where we are now in comparison, but it's obviously not a good thing at all times, because I've seen so many people just in our industry lose their jobs over some dumb stuff that they said on social media. It's not just the young
boy. I honestly think that, you know, while I don't believe he will win this award, I do think that it is.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
We have our first nomination.
You carry yourself.
The JoJo of the Week Award.
He deserves it.
It's one of those situations we get on the actual player so much that something has to be said about this guy who's supposed to be there to show the players how to act and carry themselves in public. Makes it, you
great
know.
He's an example.
I think we might have another JoJo Award nominee coming up.
Yes, indeed.
Let's just move on to the next story, because, you know, these While You Were On a Grind gives us a lot of ammunition for these JoJo Awards.
We might have four today. Absolutely.
I'm about to get on my dev joint and mispronounce this young man's name. Adam Muema. That's it. Muema. He leaves the NFL Combine because, in his words, God told him to. God told him that he was drafted by the Seahawks. Damn, yo. God told him he was going to the Seahawks, so it was no sense to him being there. He didn't want to waste his time, man.
Yeah, this guy's a running back from San Diego State University. Yeah, and like Jimmy said, God told him. The thing was, he was at the Combine, though. Like, God didn't tell him before he got on the plane and wasted that money. God didn't tell him, don't get on this plane because you don't need to go, because I will put you on the Seattle Seahawks. God waited till he got there, probably saw his competition, like, yeah, these dudes can't mess with you, so you can go on home, and I'm going to get you drafted by the Seahawks. That's what God told him. Like, this is hearsay, but.
My man got to the Combine, saw all of those other athletes, and shit got ripped.
Bottom line.
Basically what happened.
Well,
but you know the easy combine where people won't question you.
He said, God told me to sit down, be quiet, and enjoy the peace. Can't go wrong with God.
What's he going to do, right, when God tells him to turn the ball over to give it to the other team because he doesn't, you know what I mean, he shouldn't have
it.
What do you do with
that? That's your question, Jimmy. My question is, what's he going to do when he realizes that NFL Europe no longer exists? That's my question.
Yo, God probably told him he shouldn't be in the NFL, man.
Well, no, he's going to tell him that after he didn't get drafted. That's what dude's going to tell us.
God told him indoor arena football is dead. God told him about Canada.
Running backs don't shine in arena league.
In Canada.
This is absolutely true. Barely
shine in the NFL
anymore. Two stories, and we have two.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Excuse us, everybody, but God told us to nominate him for the JoJo of the Week Award.
Absolutely, and we got to listen to our creator. We have to.
No doubt.
All right, next story. Let's see how you guys feel about this one. One of B. Austin's favorite players of all time. Matter of fact, no, let's save that one. Let's go to this one first. This is not my favorite player. I'm gonna get to him in a second. But before then, we may have another nominee, gentlemen. Raymond Felton arrested on gun charges.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
The way you carry your gun. Oh,
what do you guys think about this whole Raymond Felton story?
First of all, the more that I hear about the story, I see that he kind of got set up by his wife. She actually dined him out for having a gun that wasn't registered. I heard it may have been registered in South Carolina somewhere, but not to Raymond Felton. And it was supposed to be a gun that was brought up to New York for her protection. But she told the police that he threatened her with it, you know, and right after they had a game a few nights back, less than 2 hours later, he was in the precinct explaining himself under arrest. So he's actually back with the team now, and he claims that he's not a distraction. But, come on, this is the Knicks. I mean, they're saying, you know, we're only 5.5 games out of a playoff spot. That's sad in itself because of the Eastern Conference. But this is it's definitely a distraction to a team that's already underachieving. And, you know, I don't know if he really believes that or if that's just, you know, what he has to say at the moment. But I think it's the type of distraction that might lead Carmelo Anthony to say, okay, I'm definitely not coming back here.
I'm out. So, I'm going to be honest with y'all.
So
I really nominated him on my part because of the condition that he chose to be in to play basketball at the professional level. Because he's fat, he's out of shape, he can't defend, he barely understands the concept of pick and roll, and he's just overall garbage. So for me, that's why he should be ashamed of himself. As far as the gun is concerned, I'm not mad at a young man that is trying to protect what's his. You know, he may not have thought it through. It wasn't the smartest. I mean, we all know what happened to Cheddar Bob, a.k.a. Plaxico Burress. So everybody should be familiar with the gun laws of the great state of New York. Gun laws, boss. I'm not really that mad at him. I wouldn't even nominate him for JoJo because of that. Just look at the way the Knicks play. And they have the nerve to start him and Prigioni somebody.
I would nominate him for JoJo just because his wife is the one that turned him in. And if he really threatened his wife with a gun, he definitely deserves a JoJo award. What the hell is wrong with him?
He is threatening that.
Let's
get to one of Bealston's favorite players of all time in any sport, and that's one Aaron Hernandez, a.k.a. Wayne Perry. Aaron Hernandez was allegedly in a scrap fighting to protect his booty in jail. Did you gentlemen hear about the story, and what are your thoughts on Bealston's homie?
Oh, man, this is another one where the more... the more details that come out, the more you shake your head, because it's just another example that Hernandez is about that life, and that might not change. They said he was in a brief physical altercation, but what I found out is that the other guy was handcuffed at the time. So initially heard the story, I just figured, okay, Aaron Hernandez is in there banging to protect himself. Somebody probably tested him, came at him.
The shot caller said you got to put that work in.
Yeah, he's fighting people who are restrained at the time. So now he's in, like, solitary for 30 days, and he might get some more charges, you know, added to his already long list of charges that he hasn't been in court for yet. What's wrong with this dude?
Yo, when you commit to the life, man, like, he's sincere with it, man. It's not about anything. He's really about that work. He's not about, you know, James Harden throwing up gang signs and games and, you know, some of these other guys. Like, the shot caller said, Aaron, A-A-H, we need you to go put that work in on that person. And, you know, you down with the team. You down with the set. So,
this is just jail. This is just jail. He hasn't even been to trial. He hasn't even been to prison yet because he's going to prison at some point. Like,
he about that blood in, blood out life, man. Like, yo, it is what it is, man. This is the most gangster NFL player we know of.
Literally.
Ever. Anywhere.
On earth. In the universe.
All right, well, you got to nominate him for getting into more trouble while he's already in trouble. He has to be a nominee.
Yo, He might win a JoJo of life. Forget the year, the month, like, yo, the day, the week. The JoJo of life.
Yo. Yo, shout out to Pistol Pete, man. SSM.
That's a stupid.
Yo!
That's a stupid dude.
Yo! Yo, sex, money, murder. All
right. Well, let's give some birthday shout-outs.
Let's talk some birthday.
Quick,
get some birthday shout-outs, good brother.
All right, no doubt. Birthdays, of course, as usual, brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, make sure you visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. She's treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. So just because you don't live in that direct area doesn't mean you shouldn't give her a call. You shouldn't check out the website. Just visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Again, that number is 703-379-0700. And make sure you tell them that War Room Sports sent you.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right. First birthday this week is one Mr. Devin Harris, NBA point guard, turns 31 today. Devin Harris, I don't know, when he first came into the league, he thought he was about to, you know, ascend into the elite point guard stratosphere, and he just stalled
Luda.
For some reason. He's still a good
like
player,
Ludacris.
But... Yeah, he just stalled, man. And he looked like
he almost
like
lost his life the other night. See him almost lose his life the other night when he got his behind crossed up by the gentleman in Detroit and had Devin Harris out there doing a Humpty dance.
Yo, if Will Bynum is a mercenary. Like, if you need a dude crossed over, just pay him that dough, and he will get him. He will on the low.
Shout out to Devin Harris's ankles as they turn 31 years old today. Shout out to Tony Gonzalez, the recently retired Tony Gonzalez, maybe the greatest tight end of all time. Many people think that. Some people may not. He turns 38. Shout out to a running back, former running back on my team, my Philadelphia Eagles, Deuce Staley, turns 39. Deuce Staley is still a running backs coach with the Eagles, and you always see him on the sideline looking like he weighs a good 275. So shout out to Deuce. And shout out to one of Jimmy's favorites of all time, just because he plays for his, I was about to say Lake Show, but this was Showtime. James Worthy turns 53 today.
Big
what do you guys
James,
think
baby.
Of James Worthy in the larger scheme of things? Because James Worthy had game, but then on one side, I think that there's a belief out there that a lot of people have started to overrate James Worthy a little bit in the larger scheme of NBA history.
James Worthy might be underrated. He might be underrated.
Really, because he played with so many superstars.
Yeah.
But
I mean, at the end of the day, like, there were everybody was stacked back then, but his first step was the greatest first step in basketball. People forget, before even playing with Magic, and this guy was the first pick of the draft. I mean, that's for a reason. You know what I'm saying? You're not picked the first pick of the draft, you know, if you're not that guy. James Worthy is that guy, Hall of Famer.
Surprisingly, so, we agree. I think he's underrated.
So you think, basically, if James Worthy was on another squad and, you know, didn't play most of his career with Magic and, you know, a lot of it with Kareem, you think he would have been... You know, as far as production, as far as numbers, you know, a lot of people out there are numbers people. Do you think his numbers
I don't think he
would have
won the championships and been in the big games that he was in because, I mean,
back
then
he wouldn't have been able
to
beat big game James.
But I think he would have put up numbers. He'd have been, you know, easily 20, 25 a game, easy. I think he's a scorer and he could have got it done. But at the end of the day, like, that nickname he got for playing in big games, that may not have come about because – Yo, I mean, it depends upon where he goes. Now, if you take him off there and you put him, you know, I wouldn't say the Celtics because he played the same position as Bird. So you put him on the Milwaukee Bucks back then. People forget how good those Bucks teams were as well. But on any of those
Hall
teams,
of Famer, though?
Sixers was
I mean, I know this isn't an HOFOH, but
well,
Hall of Famer?
I'm about to go to our War Room cliche. Here's our overused War Room cliche. I mean, if they let Joe Dumars in, I mean... You know, Jay Brady's also a nice guy.
He got them Dumars.
You know
numbers,
what? If
so.
we're gonna use Joe Dumars as the baseline, I am absolutely certain that Big Game James would have been able to put up better numbers anywhere.
Terry Cummings should
universe.
Be in the Hall of Fame if Joe Dumars is. Terry Cummings should be in the Hall of Fame, man.
I mean,
Sidney Moncrief should
James,
be in the Hall
Game
of Fame.
James is in there. I'm just asking y'all, you know, what he is.
No, I know he's in there. I'm just saying in general. Like, would he have been a Hall of Famer without playing with those Lakers teams?
We might have to put that out there one day.
I think so. I mean,
I think he was.
His pedigree, and when you see him coming out of Carolina, I mean, you know, yeah, he was that guy, man. He was the go-to guy on the team that Jordan was on, so it is what it is.
All right. Hold y'all to that. When y'all see them Dumars numbers, I'm going to hold y'all to that. But no doubt. All right, well, definitely we want to give a nice big War Room salute to all of these gentlemen on their birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
All right, my brothers check to see who's on the digital. I'm going to let you guys know how you can get in touch with us. You guys can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. You can also inquire about the upcoming War Room Sports Podcast Network. If you yourself are a podcaster and you'd like your work to be heard on a larger scale, contact us, info@warroomsports.com. We got something for you. While you're browsing the site, make sure you click on the memorabilia tab. Make sure you buy yourself some War Room Sports merchandise, T-shirt here, hat there, you know, whatever. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair, in Sports and More blog, then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app. You got to get that. And to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. We know you have those. And while you're at it, click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show every week. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, which is now open. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And before we jump into some NBA rap, we're going to go to the Digital Extreme Tech hotline real quick. We got the homie Tobias on the line. Roll damn tide. What's up, Tobias? You're in the War Room.
Roll damn tide.
Roll tide. I'm not talking about basketball season either. Alabama.
No doubt.
But what's going on, gentlemen?
Nothing much, man. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I got two basketball points for you guys. All right. You know, I'm a down and out Bulls fan.
Right.
And I know people saying Melo going to stay in New York. My thing is, the Bulls will be stupid to not try to go after this guy. And I feel like the Bulls are stupid to rest their hope on a Euro guy, because we all know how most Euro guys get all these hype. You know, we all hear about Marauder. Hey, Marauder's got more hype than one of the X-Men, seems like it. This guy here, I'm like, remember Thiago Splitter was a big-time Euro prospect? Rudy Fernandez, all these guys have become average. So I believe they should roll the dice and go for it, you know. And he cares about winning. When has New York been good since Patrick Ewing left? What have they done since Patrick Ewing left?
That's a good question. Because, I mean, that franchise, if you listen to the franchise, New Yorkers, you know, their fans, you would think, like, there's this long pedigree of success, you know, at Madison Square Garden for the Knicks. But like you asked, like, you know, when have they really been good since Pat Ewing left? You know, they had that one run to the finals in the strike year, 99. But, you know, since then what?
And I got my last point. I know I'm going to make people mad because they ride this guy's jock. And they act like this guy's a second coming of Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas. Why can't I say Kyrie Irving's overrated? He's overrated. Everybody makes so many excuses for this guy. Now, I live in Phoenix. The Suns are in the playoff race, and they have nothing. and Goran Dragic is balling, and they have
Dragic
nothing on that
dude.
Tell me, if you're supposed to be this star, you can't even get eighth in the East?
Well, here's the thing, though. Kyrie Irving is fighting against something that that Goran Dragic doesn't have to fight against, and that's his head coach, Mike Brown, who plays better defense on his own team than his team plays defense on the other team. So, grade Kyrie Irving, you have to grade his team's performance on the curve because of their front office as well as the coach. I mean, their front office, you know, their first-round pick, the number one overall, didn't score for like the first 3 weeks of the season. And their GM is also the guy who went out and hired Mike Brown after they fired Mike Brown a couple years ago.
GM too.
Yeah.
So he's fighting against his GM and his coach, so he has to be graded on the curve. Now, I mean, he has talent. Has he lived up to the hype? I don't know. There's a lot of hype around him because of the whole Uncle Drew thing. I mean, he comes from Duke University. He's a high draft pick, so, you know, rookie of the year. So he has a lot to live up to. Plus, he's playing in LeBron's town after LeBron left and LeBron had a success. I mean, LeBron didn't win a championship in Cleveland, but, I mean, he has success
in
Cleveland, whether people want to admit it or not. Because before LeBron, what the hell was the Cavaliers? You know what I'm saying? So he's playing behind a lot. He's playing behind, you know, the best player in the league. He's playing for a coach who's terrible, in my personal opinion, and a general manager who's just like, I don't know what to make of this guy. Well, he's been fired at this point.
He's also playing against a heavy weapons officer from Full Metal Jacket and Deion Waiters, because Deion Waiters
shooting. Oh, yeah, he ain't never met a shot that he doesn't like. He loves every shot ever on the universe.
Yeah.
Now that we've pointed out everything, you know, that everybody else is doing wrong, Kyrie Irving still has some culpability in this.
Absolutely. He has to learn how to take that talent and skill that he has. He can dominate his man. He can dominate a game from a statistical standpoint. He has to learn how to translate that into wins, into helping his team make strides within the course of a game to get wins. Because it's easy for him to go out and get 25 and 9 assists. That's easy. He also has to start playing more defense, because defensively he is terrible. So there's definitely.
I guess the good thing about all this, though, Tobias, is the fact that the NBA has changed, so he probably won't even be there soon. He'll probably be somewhere else playing with another superstar. So,
super team.
You know what? Before I go,
he might be on your Bulls.
Nah. D-Roll's gonna be all right. But you know the problem is, see, right now, all we know from him, he's taking some bomb in a rookie game and getting points in a pickup game called the All-Star game. The problem is, if he leaves and goes somewhere else, the pressure's really going to be turned up. It's kind of
it depends upon where he goes. What if he goes somewhere else where there's already a clear-cut number one?
But see, the problem is that everybody's going to say, okay, my point is, like, it's kind of like, will he be like Stephon Marbury? I got great numbers. I got hell of talent. But can I win? It's kind of like Kevin Love offering these guys get numbers, but ain't translating to win. So if he goes somewhere else, let's say he goes to New York. Nobody's going to New York, but let's say he is.
The thing about that, Tobias. I hear what you're saying, but the thing about that is, like, and let's take Kevin Love, another example. I mean, these guys have tremendous talent, but you have to look at who they're going up against and also who they're going to battle with. Yo, as B. Austin says, Kevin Love has a point guard that can't shoot to save his own life. Like, so, you know, it's not just about, hey, you can't translate the wins. It's a team game. You win as a team and you lose as a team. One player who wins the game or a championship by himself.
Kevin Love is double-teamed at all times in his life, when he goes to sleep, when he wakes up. And at the end of games, you can play a game where Ricky Rubio is going to get off. He's going to make tremendous passes. But at the very end of games, you can sag off of Ricky Rubio, much like Kobe Bryant does to Rajon Rondo. You take a lot of pressure and put it on to Kevin Love when you have those type of deficiencies. The other thing is, defensively, they don't know how to defend the pick and roll. Like, it's a shame to be grown men in the National Basketball Association, but teams that are successful at running pick and roll and pick and pop on them, they get off. They get off because Kevin Love has deficiencies in sliding his feet. And so a lot of times teams towards the end of games run heavy, heavy doses of pick and roll. And with stretch fours, they make him slide his feet and defend, he gets into problems. But I think that Kevin Love has the deck stacked against him in terms of what he faces night in and night out.
Neighbor, shout out to the homie JT from Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Radio out in Chicago, because he's in the chat room right now. He says, John Wall, Stephen Curry, Damian Lillard, all greater than Kyrie Irving.
And the thing is, that may be true, but I think that, you know, his story hasn't been completed as of yet. That's easy to say right now. But at the end of the day, if this guy gets out of Cleveland and he has some team, he has teammates to play
he's
with.
He's 21. He's 21.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at who Damian Lillard is playing with. Look at who Stephen Curry is playing with. And you look at who Kyrie Irving is playing with. It's a big, it's a huge difference. It's not even close. I mean, Damian Lillard has another all-star in his team. And Stephen Curry has the best light-skinned guys in the NBA on his team.
I'm off, man, because you guys got other stuff. But see, what I was saying is that when Kyrie does leave, who really wants to live in Cleveland? But when he does leave, what I'm saying is that, okay, you're gone. Show us how good you are. Kind of like LeBron had to prove himself. Even though we knew he was great, but okay, let's see it then. Because he said it was these people. Even though LeBron, he balled his butt off. But it's like, okay, you left, this team was bad, let's see what you got. Especially in a bigger market, let's say like New York or Chicago. No, you're not going to Chicago.
Kyrie might end up in Miami as a point guard.
That's what I was thinking. But you guys take it easy.
Miami just keep raping Cleveland.
All right, man. Thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it.
Tobias, thanks for the call, homie.
Roll damn tide. No, I stand somewhere in the middle with all of that, because that's one thing that people do have to realize, that the dude is still only 21 years old. So,
21.
And that's the thing. Like, we can name all of his flaws and his deficiencies, but it's really I think people like Tobias listen to everybody who overhypes him at this stage. Because people did see him get off the Rising Stars game last season and now in the All-Star game this season, and they absolutely lost their minds. So I can see how people will make you have to speak out like that, like, okay, calm down. He hasn't done anything yet. But like you guys said, the talent is definitely there. He's young. He's building with a young team. He might not stick around for that build. But it's kind of like Allen Iverson. Like, the Sixers stunk when he first got there, but he had – in 10 years, he had pretty good success with the Sixers.
It's sort of like we talked about this on Court Vision when we were previewing the All-Star game. It's like the All-Star game is where you build your brand. We were waiting for Damian Lillard to have that moment. He was in damn every event. We were waiting for him to have that moment to become a household name, which he really didn't do.
Kyrie is all about seizing that moment. He knows what the light is on
the road. And that crossover he did the other night was something special to behold. But I definitely agree that his game has major flaws. He is very young. He will get it together. Mm-hmm. He only played 1 year in college. That ain't saying much these days. But, you know, at the end of the day, let's give him a chance.
Jimmy, he played 8 games.
Yeah, he played, I shouldn't even say 1 year, because that wasn't 1 year. He did a Jadeveon Clowney on him.
Let's pause for a minute to pay some bills. Let everybody know who this segment is brought to him by.
Yes, yes, yes. As you already know, this is our NBA Wrap brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Go to our site at warroomsports.com and click on the Fanatics logo, and you can get your gear up. NFL, NBA, NHL, if you happen to be a hockey fan, if any of you are out there, Major League Baseball, NCAA gear, boxing, MMA, your favorite MMA fighters, whatever. Just go to Fanatics, and you can visit that by going to warroomsports.com and clicking on the Fanatics logo. Let's just keep having this basketball talk. We started with, bringing up Kyrie Irving. You know what I mean? Shout out to the old head, Curtis Blow. Bars is weak. But let's talk some more hoops. Before we jump into a couple topics, Dev, who were the players of the week in the NBA last week?
Players of the week off of the All-Star break would be Kemba Walker of the
King Kemba,
the Charlotte Bobcats, and Kevin Love, who we just spoke about, of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Kemba Walker and the Walker and the Bobcats went 4-0 this week. He averaged 22.5 points per game, 8.8 assists, and 5.5 rebounds. He also played 40.5 minutes per game. So shout out to Kemba Walker getting it in this week. That's probably his first ever NBA Player of the Week. I'm just guessing. Kevin Love. Oh, you want to say something about Kemba real quick?
No, I wanted to say, well, go ahead. Give him the Kevin Love stats because I got an interesting fact about Kevin for this month.
Okay, Kevin Love. Now, y'all know White Moses. You know I'm about to read these numbers, and y'all know they're about to be
that
ridiculous.
My people going.
Kevin Love and the Timberwolves went 2-1 this week. He led the league in scoring at 36.7 points per game, 12.7 rebounds. And
yo,
like I said, they went 2-1, and that's the problem.
Man.
How can you not Kevin Love him?
All right, here's the thing, though. I have a point to be awesome before you make your point about Kevin Love. My point is about Kemba Walker. I watch him play, and the guy has talent. He should be in this league, yo. But when I watch him play, I start to wonder, why is Charlotte in the league altogether? Like, that's one of the first teams that should just be, like, taken away and just taken out of the league. Like, get rid of – I mean, I know they're trying to, like, pay Mike back for what he did for the game by giving him his franchise at home. But, yo, no one cares. No one barely goes to their games. I mean, college basketball still runs that town. Like, yo, just take the talent off of that team, get rid of the team, and put them on a team.
Yeah.
Like, yo, we got to –
Yeah, yeah,
like, you know,
that,
our new commissioner
for me, Kemba Walker is a solid NBA player. He's a little better than
exactly.
I actually thought he was going to be. Like you said, he's down there rotting away.
It took him a while to get there. It took him a while to get there, but I kind of saw the eye of the tiger in him in college, so I expected after 3 or 4 seasons for him to put it together. He's not physically impending. He's not a superb athlete, but he's just a baller. He's a game.
Yeah. I mean, my thing was he's undersized, so he wasn't a typical, you know, in college he was a scorer. In the NBA, of course, he was going to have to play point guard because I keep telling everybody there's only one Allen Iverson. He's going to have to play the point guard, and he wasn't your typical point guard, but, you know, he's learning. He's making strides. I know this was just 1 week, but you see this week he averaged 8.5 assists per game. So shout out to Kemba Walker.
Yeah, he definitely can play. He can play in this league, like, you know.
Yeah.
He can definitely play in this league. I just watched the whole team, and I'm like, yo, like, why are you – why? Like, what is this? Like, you could take him and a couple other players – not many, but a couple other players off that team and help the league out, make the league stronger.
You know what's funny about Charlotte? They actually are a very good team defensively. But
are you saying that because you're a Mike stan? You're going to find a way to say something
positive about
Charlotte?
Not at all. They are well coached defensively, but offensively
they're well owned.
They rely on Bismarck Biyombo and Gerald Henderson, and that's all I need to say.
Yo, Dev, I thought he would somehow give Mike props on this and say they were like a well owned team.
No, Kevin Love's per player efficiency rating for February is 38.
Yo, he's drawing, yo.
Yo, his player efficiency is that's the highest per ever.
We got JT Mack in the chat room, and he's asking why doesn't White America promote Kevin Love more? He said other than McDonald's, they don't really promote the great white guy.
He can't jump and he's white. Why doesn't White America promote him?
But that don't mean you can't pop his face in more commercials.
He's a loser.
Man,
that's why
people want to see Blake. They want to see Blake Griffin. Yo, to be real, my man Gerald Green out in Phoenix, who barely has a job, gets more promotion than Kevin Love.
Yo, he's a more exciting player. Listen, man. Kevin Love makes me and B. Austin's most unathletic team with like Andre Miller, Zach Randolph, and a couple other guys. But yo, those guys are solid players.
Who the hell
endorses,
who the hell endorses Gerald Green though? The local Chinese store.
Exactly.
You got a couple poppy stores. A couple poppy stores, you know what I mean?
Okay.
A couple bodegas and whatnot. But at the end of the day, the guy is boring and he's a loser. Let's just keep it real.
Anyway,
let's move on. Let's talk about someone who doesn't have a problem getting endorsements even after he took the booty. And that's Kobe Bean Bryant, who's out at least another 3 weeks. So the question I'm going to pose to you gentlemen is, should Kobe just, like, call it quits for the rest of the season, or should he come back in 3 weeks?
Call it quits.
Well,
they can't make the playoffs.
Yeah, doctors in his last visit basically said he's still having trouble with pain, swelling, and all that good stuff. So, like you said, it's at least another 3 weeks. He might go back in 3 weeks, and the doctor may say, you know, you're still not right.
Yeah.
Should he? He probably should just sit it out, get his Derrick Rose on, and, you know, look forward to that team building next year because they got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of cap room to play with in the offseason, so we're going to see if the new bus allows Mitch Kupchak to do his Mitch Kupchak thing and put some more guys around Kobe for his final run at it. The question is, can we keep Kobe Bryant off the court this season? You know, I don't know if he's going to want to go out like Derrick Rose. If he can play, he'll probably want to play. So if the Lakers are interested in keeping him out, then they might want the doctor to just keep telling him things that he doesn't want to hear.
First off,
maybe they can do it that way.
First off, I wish they would have never gave him that extension, just let him go away forever in a day and, like, rebuild, start over. Like, you know, that's my personal opinion. No disrespect. Kobe Bryant is definitely a top 10 player to ever play basketball. But it's like, yo, Father Time is undefeated. It's just the bottom line. Like, he's dealing with pain and swelling, and, you know, maybe he'll come back. Maybe
Jimmy,
he won't. We don't know. Huh?
Jimmy, you keep saying that like dude didn't just put up 27 a game the last time he was healthy. Like, it hasn't been a year, a season, or two seasons of him falling off. Like, the last time we saw him healthy on the court, which wasn't that long ago, he was a top three scorer in the world.
But
he's got hurt and he hasn't come back. Like, what are you talking about?
His Achilles injury might be, you know, a component of Father Time putting in work. Because, you know, I've learned a lot about that injury because I've had some people close to me with it. It's one of those things. It's basically from a lifetime of wear and tear. And
that thing never goes away. Like,
yeah, it's kind of inevitable. Like, when it's going to happen, if your Achilles has that kind of wear on it, it's going to happen. There's nothing you can really do about it. So that might be a little bit of Father Time doing his thing.
Dog,
if
listen,
he can heal,
I tore my Achilles,
and that's the thing.
And that's the most
Father
pain
Time,
I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. And Father Time, you don't heal like you used to. So it's not necessarily about what he was doing the last time we saw him healthy. It's just harder to heal when Father Time start kicking you in your legs. So that's what I think out of it. He definitely was.
And it's no disrespect to Kobe or his legacy or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, at some point, and I know most teams struggle with this, when you have somebody who's, like, synonymous with your franchise and they've been your best player for years upon years, is, like, how to turn the page and move forward. So it's going to be difficult for the Lakers to do, whether he comes back or not. But, you know, a decision has to be made. But they gave him 2 more years, so he's definitely going to try. And I also want to say, yo, shout out to Derrick Rose because – yo, Derrick Rose doesn't care when nobody thinks about him. He doesn't care about y'all memes. My man be out there chilling like, yo, like he has no worries in life. Like he's just enjoying life even though he can't play.
With a great sartorial game. Great.
Yo.
And shoes.
Yo, his sartorial game is not like them other dudes, man. Like, but at the end of the day, he be out there suited and booted, you know what I'm saying, chilling. So shout to him because, you know, we know how ranked top five, but you know how some of y'all dudes in Chicago be when y'all get y'all dress on.
It ain't Ralph level.
Let me ask you this. I'm asking
what's the name of your clothing line? We don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
But it ain't Ralph.
Derrick Rose be out there chilling,
though. Chicago, though,
man.
I'm going to be out. Matter of fact, I'm flying to Chicago tomorrow. I'll be there for the whole week, Friday to Friday. So, you know, JT in the chat room.
Say what's up to Chief Keith and Lil Durk.
Hook him up with some Myers, JT. I'm sorry.
I'll be at that Bulls Knicks game on Sunday, so I'm gonna see, you know, if Derrick Rose is sitting on the sideline, you know, not caring and doing his
thing. But my thing is though, like he be smiling. Like Derrick Rose don't smile when he plays. Like why are you smiling now?
Because it don't hurt. Don't hurt to sit on the side.
Chilling.
It hurts.
He's chilling, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know, man. I don't know, Kobe. I hope you come back. I saw my man Dominique Wilson's come back and put up a good 25 piece after, so hopefully you can do the same thing.
How old was Dominique when it happened, though?
I don't know. 31 and 33.
And the thing about that is, though, Kobe, even for his age, like, yo, his wear and tear is still crazy.
He has more, yeah,
because
more
of the playoff runs. And my man was balling in the league at, like, 17, 18. And, like, you know, he's been had long play. Even when they didn't win the championship, he's been to the finals a couple times and lost and been a deep in the playoffs. So his wear and tear
yeah.
is crazy, yo.
He's probably played about 20 more percent of games now than Dominique played in his entire career.
Like, I can't with a percentage, though. 20 more percent.
20 more percent.
20 more percent. No doubt, no doubt. Anyway, look. You're going
to come back to a firestorm because they bickering in L.A. right now.
Man, you ain't never lied. That's my next story right there, man. What a segue. Nice job, Dev. Yo, Pau Gasol and D'Antoni, who some people I saw on our page, some people take up for him and call him one of the best coaches in the league, believe it or not. Anyway, they exchange words through the media. Listen, I'm just telling you what the people are saying. I'm just reporting what the people say. I'm not saying I agree with it, but people were slandering D'Antoni. And as Akil calls him, D'Antoni, people were slandering him, and someone actually came to his defense. But they're using the media to send shots at each other. What do you guys think about Powell and D'Antoni?
Powell was talking to the media about the team's offense, and D'Antoni basically said to the media he didn't like the fact that Gasol went to the media. He's trying to tell Gasol to keep it in-house. I hear they had a meeting in lieu of a shoot-around prior to their last – was it prior – is it today's game? I don't know. Whatever. Instead of having a shoot-around, these guys had a meeting basically to clear the air type thing. I think it was D'Antoni really basically lecturing his team on keeping things in-house and all that kind of stuff. This is the last thing that they need, you know, having the type of season that they're having. One of the worst teams in the Western Conference. The talent level on the team it just stinks right now. But this is terrible because first the players are calling out the coach now. One of the star players calling out the coach. This is a coach that many people in L.A. didn't want to see back because they had a chance to get Phil Jackson back. They didn't really want to see dude in L.A. So I think everything's starting to hit the fan now, and it'll be interesting. We just talked about Kobe in his final 2 years. It'll be interesting to see if D'Antoni will be the coach for those last 2 years, or they're going to start the project over again. It's getting crazy, Jimmy.
I mean, my thing is, who's out there to get unless you get a young coach, up-and-coming coach, other than the Zen Master?
Mike Brown. People still coming to his defense on our page.
Yo, don't even bring him in for an interview because we know that he's like, yo, when he gets an interview, he got the job, yo. Don't even bring him in. Mike Brown, a.k.a.
Yo,
King
Mike
Powell.
Brown will bring defense. Do you think that if you combine Mike Brown and D'Antoni and gave them co-head coaching jobs, you might have a good team? Because Mike Brown's defense would be ain't too bad.
Yo,
he's
Mike
saying
Brown,
that, though.
AKA,
he came to the Lakers with 2 7-footers on the team, and, you know, they still were, like, 15th in the league in defense. I think that season, with his first full, his only full season with the Lakers, and that wasn't even full because it was a lockout season. If it weren't for the fact that the Lakers dominated the boards, their defense would have been terrible numbers-wise. So, you know,
I mean, it's one of the things that people have been saying for years, so they stick it with him. Like, his defense is good. Now, he had one good defensive team. You got to do with him. But with that being said, like, I just think that I don't know who else is out there for Lakers to target right now, because especially if you want to keep Kobe and use him as the centerpiece of your team and make your run, you need to win now. So you can't, like, grow with a younger coach. So with that being said, unless you're going to go get Phil, who at this point probably will stick them up for Lord knows how much money.
Just because they
you
didn't
know, you
take
gotta
him
ride
last
it out.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that
yeah,
that meeting
play.
Was a. That meeting was at the team hotel Wednesday before the Pacers shellacked them. So, you know, they
yeah,
spoke,
yeah,
and it obviously didn't mean
doubt.
Nothing because the Pacers came out and manhandled them for like a duh.
And the Pacers, man, the Pacers are trying to win this year, and one of the moves that they made was picking up Evan Turner, a.k.a. And they sent Danny Granger to the Philadelphia 76ers. Danny Granger didn't want to be a part of Philadelphia 76ers and what they were doing. So the Sixers actually bought out Danny Granger's contract. There are two teams who are at the top of the list who are interested in Danny Granger. So I want to ask you, gentlemen, who would make the best fit? Those teams are the Spurs and Clippers. Briefly, I'll just say I think the Spurs would be an excellent fit. What do you gentlemen say about Danny Granger and the Spurs and Clippers vying for his services?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a done deal. Yeah. Go ahead, Doug. I think it's pretty much a done deal that he's going to end up going to the Clippers because J.J. Redick, who's their starting two guard, is out indefinitely with a bulging disc. And one of my favorite active players, Jamal Crawford, just went down with a calf strain, and he's kind of day-to-day. So, what little is left of the Danny Granger that we remember, he's at least a 39% career three-point shooter to stretch the floor to allow the monkey show to go ahead and run all those pick and rolls and dunk, open up the floor for him. So I think that the Clippers become a place where he can plug in immediately and get it gunning. So the Spurs are more of a system team, and they're not missing as many pieces. So I doubt that he ends up going to the Spurs. I think that it's for pretty much a done deal. The Clippers for Granger. The funny thing about this is initially the Heat were considered a destination, but there's rumors out of Miami that the organization, LeBron and Dwayne Wade, got together and said that because you were mean to us, you were mean, you weren't nice when we were playing, we don't want you here. You can't come and play basketball with us. You have to be a nicer person. You have to treat us with respect.
The thing was, and that was funny.
That story, but go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. That story definitely was funny that they were saying, they wouldn't welcome him on the team because, he wasn't nice to them in the playoffs that year. But the funny part about that, because that story really grew some legs and was running around, but Danny Granger never said that he was interested in going to the Miami Heat. It's just that everybody who gets waived, everybody who gets, released or whatever, the Heat come up because they know, Pat Riley makes that call and he ends up getting veterans on the cheap. So they always come up even if nobody's even checking for them.
Pat Riley will put a horse's head in their bed. But, the thing is this, what I find hilarious about that is, I remember, playing ball, football, basketball, whatever it may be, and I had someone who talked trash to me and disrespected me and acted like that. When they became, free on a pickup or whatever, I wanted them on my squad. It was a total opposite.
So they can do that to other people.
Yeah, it's you want to act like an asshole, be on my team and act like an asshole. You know what I mean? It's the total opposite. That's what's funny to me.
I straight got into a fist fight and broke somebody's nose and said, you made me so angry, I want to play with you. You got to come play with me, I can't deal with you being on the opposite squad and putting me in that level of anger.
Justin on here bringing his thuggery stories to the air.
I know. Come on, man.
But as far as the two teams, Justin is right, though, because, all reports are saying that he's probably going to sign with the Clippers in large part because of those injuries. But I do think the Spurs would be a better fit for him. His athleticism on the wing, if he's still athletic. His athleticism on the wing would help that team out a lot. The Clippers, if those guys come back, then he might be in the same position that he was before. Because, especially, what's his name? Crossover dude.
Crawford?
Yeah, especially Jamal Crawford. He's a big part of that team coming off the bench. So, when he's healthy, he's going to get a lot of minutes. J.J. Redick.
Crossover ball.
J.J. Redick. If he can stay on the floor, he's a part of the team. So if those guys get healthy, then Granger will probably just turn into depth on your bench during the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure he wants to play at this point, especially to prove
Indiana. And I think Pop could get the best out of this guy, and Pop could also hide the fact that he can't really play defense that well. I think playing with Popovich will probably help him out in the long run, but at the end of the day, you want to go play for the highlight reel team.
Yeah, my thing with that, I think you're definitely right with Jamal Crossover, because Jamal Crossover gets 32 minutes a game. So he's definitely going to come back. I don't think his injury is serious. But in the case of J.J. Redick, they're saying that.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? Your
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or
well,
what portion?
Spinal.
Yeah, with him, it's spinal. So he could be done indefinitely. They're not sure. And that's a starter, so there's minutes. There's at least 20 minutes a game right there. And Matt Barnes is hot and cold. He's up and down. I think Danny Granger, if he can consistently hit his shot, may be the equivalent, if not a little better, than Matt Barnes offensively.
Cool. We'll see how it shakes out. And I think he will be a Clipper as well, so we'll see how it shakes out. Definitely think Indiana got the better of that whole deal. I mean, not really judging the Sixers because I'd never thought that the Granger pickup was anything long-term. You know, I knew he was a free agent. Well, he would have been pretty soon, but, you know, they bought him out to make it happen a little faster. Got that cap space. The thing is, the Sixers have cap space and a million picks in the upcoming draft.
It's crazy because
so we'll see what
and
they
I know
do
we I know we have to get to Fred Perdue to talk about what's going on NFL wise, but I just want to say one quick thing. It's funny when you watch the Sixers and the Celtics make these moves because, I mean, you know, we always talk about teams rebuilding, but yo, these teams these days they like yo they go completely bankrupt to come back. It's not like yo we're gonna move a piece here, move a piece there. Yo, we get rid of everything. We're going completely broke to try to come back.
Hinkie
like,
has
the
stripping
term rebuilding
the Sixers down to the white meat. Or to the bone.
Yo, that's exactly it. Like, yo, the Sixers payroll is like $250 a week.
And they play like they make $250 a week.
They
commensurate to their payroll. So
they could lose to a lot of teams.
Hell of a pickup. Hell of a pickup, in my opinion, for the Pacers. I think Evan Turner will fit in well because he doesn't have the pressure of being the number two pick anymore. He goes to a championship contender. He's going to get on the court and help those guys. You know what I'm saying? So he might go from the worst team in the league to winning the championship.
His first
this year.
Game he balled out. His first game with him he balled.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a nice move for the Pacers. Like I said, the Pacers are tooling up for this year. It's not about – they're the opposite of the Celtics and Sixers. Like, they're trying to win right now. Today, you
Celtics
hear me?
Celtics and Sixers going for it in the other direction.
All right, last story before we move on. Let's talk about this big story in the National Basketball Association of one Jason Collins getting a 10-day contract with the Brooklyn Nets.
Bummed you.
And also the first player in NBA history to have a 10-day contract and his jersey be put on sale. What do you guys think about what's going on with Jason Collins?
They're riding the wave. Like I don't understand. Well, I understand the jersey thing because they're riding the wave. Technically, Jason Collins, I guess he wanted to beat Michael Sam to the punch. Jason Collins is the first openly gay athlete in the four major American sports. In the four major American sports, he's the first openly gay athlete. So his announcement back in, you know, in the summer or whenever he did that last year was, quote-unquote, historic in itself, but now he's actually on a team, albeit for 10 days, albeit he's still a bum. He's still the first. So I don't know. They're definitely
keeping we have a comment in our chat room. I'm not sure how true it is, but they said that he actually, since they put his jersey on sale, has the top-selling jersey in the league.
I heard that. And that's crazy. That's just, seriously, that's just the gay and lesbian community making a statement, if that's true. That's just them making a statement. Like, we're here, and we ain't going nowhere. So they're going to support this dude like that. He mess around. Like, the whole jersey sales thing and the fact that he is the first now and the Nets took a chance on him, it might pressure the Nets into keeping him, even if he doesn't produce in the way that they need him to produce. This may pressure them into keeping him. How are you going to cut the dude after 10 days if he got the leading jersey sales, you know, he's leading the league in jersey sales after being on the team for like two games?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, right? But at the end of the day, like
you
said, they want to ride the wave.
We here.
And it's all about the almighty dollar, man. Me and B. Austin were talking the other day, and I was telling him how it was a good article in the Bloomberg Business Week about the NBA and with Adam Silver taking over the league, and how Adam Silver's number one objective was to find revenue streams and increase revenue. His whole thing was, yo, I don't care about the actual game. I'm looking at the business of basketball, and I'm trying to make as much money as humanly possible. It's sort of like a little bit of envy from the amount of revenue that the NFL generates, and basketball thinks they have a better product and a better game, and they should be making more money. So he introduced long-sleeve jerseys because he's getting ready to start putting ads on them. Jason Collins jerseys, you know, league puts the call in. We got to put them jerseys for sale. He's all about the bread. Who cares about the game? So
the hell,
I want to see what other kind of things happen. You said who what?
Roy said Jason is the first gay man to block a shot.
Yo,
yo,
well,
no, because we got to use openly. He's the first openly gay man.
Openly, there you go. Yeah, got to use openly.
John Amici blocked some shots in his day. John Amici, because
John Amici waited until after he was gone and already in hiding.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I think that as you guys alluded to, my man Adam Silver sat down with Prokhorov and said, look, we know that y'all aren't going
get this
to
money,
in
son.
The playoffs. You need to recoup some of that, some of this money that you're going to pay in luxury tax. So you know you're going to get some of this merchandising guap. So why don't you go ahead and sign this bum? Because to me, there's no justification for Jason Collins being in the league, and it has nothing to do with his sexuality. He is 35 years old, and he is no better than he was when he was 17. So it's like, why would you, of all the big men, it has to be the ability to capitalize on the social movement as opposed to good, because you can find better bigs. You can find better bigs than Jason Collins.
In the words of the great philosopher, one Mr. Randy Moss, is about one thing.
Great cash, homie.
It is what it is. You know, it is what it is, man. You know, shout out to the Nets for, you know, making that move. We'll see what happens long term. how much he can contribute, I don't know. I mean, I watched a little bit of him play since he joined the team, and I see him nothing but foul people. But at the same time, he's the first openly gay person to foul somebody. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on this, gentlemen? Because I know that it's been big news, but, you know, I know you guys did an amazing job on War Room Sports TV talking about is the NFL ready? But the NBA said, look, we're going to show you we're ready. So, and here's my last question to you guys. Because the Nets did this, does it change anything in terms of Michael Sam and what's going to happen with him?
Say that again.
I don't think that it really changes anything. You know, the funny thing, we had a conversation about his draft stock dropping. From being, you know, him being ranked in the 90s down to like 160 something, 170 something. But a lot of the talk that I heard from scouts, from GMs, it was kind of substantiated in his draft performance. Like he went out there and he was very mediocre in terms of explosiveness, in terms of the testing for his true athletic ability. If you're going to be undersized, then you have to be a hell of an athlete. If you're not a hell of an athlete, then you have to be bringing size and strength to the table. He doesn't do that. He doesn't bring a unique level of explosiveness and speed. So it's kind of like I know he's going to get drafted. He's going to have to cut his teeth and make his bones on special teams, and it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out because I don't think athletically he's really proven himself to be what they hoped. So,
all right. Well, look, we're about to talk with Fred Perdue of HeavyInTheGames.com anyway about NFL Combine stuff. So let's do that real quick. Everybody, you can check out our website at WarRoomSports.com to call in and speak with us about any of today's topics. Dial a Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And this segment of Hot Topics – go ahead, real quick.
I just want to say, like, yo, these dudes in our chat room are hilarious. Said his draft stock is dropping because of his catwalk. Like, yo, y'all dudes gotta chill, man.
yo,
y'all crazy in the chat room, yo. But anyway,
we're gonna get into some hot topics. It's gonna be led by Fred Perdue of Having the Games talking some NFL Combine stuff. So
absolutely.
Jimmy's gonna let you guys know who was brought to us by.
These hot topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. Go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. That's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. And you can get a free audiobook. Like I said last week, I'm in the middle of this Wilt Chamberlain book, which is amazing. And there's several sports books that you can get up there. Charles Barkley, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Anybody you name that has written a book, Audible has the audio version, so you can get a lot of great stories from the NBA. There are a lot of football ones as well, but, you know, I'm partial to the basketball books. They're amazing. But, yeah, let's move on, man. The chat room got me dying laughing, man, so let's just get right into the NFL talk with Fred Perdue of Heavy in the Games and talk about the Combine and get his opinion on Michael Sam and his catwalk.
Y'all stupid. Alright, we're going to Fred Perdue of HeavyInTheGames.com. Fred, you're in the war room. What's going on, brother?
How y'all doing, fellas?
We're pretty good.
We doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm very good.
So what's going on down
get
here
into this discussion.
At this combine? Like, let us know who's standing out, you know, in the crowd. What surprised you so far during the combine?
What surprised me? A couple guys just off the radar a little bit. We'll start off with the small school guys, a guy I really liked out of, at the wide receiver position. John Brown out of Pittsburgh State. I know most fans won't know where Pittsburgh State is, what their record is, or who John Brown really is, but I think he's a really he has very good hands, very fast guy. One of the guys I ended up seeing throughout the All-Star game circuit. Got to go back and watch a little bit more tape to reconfirm everything I've seen on him, but everything I've seen says he's going to be a very dynamic kick returner, special teamer, and eventually can turn into possibly a number two receiver, maybe a slot receiver as well. A lot of times when you see these receivers, you see these blazing 40 times, and these receivers, this is the largest amount of receivers that have declared this year, 19 receivers. This group, it has everything you want, whether it's the big, tall, fast receiver, you can have the small water bug guy, you can have your special teamer, you can have whatever you want. And it's just such a very great amount of talent. At the top, you have Sammy Watkins, a guy that really ended up turning out doing exactly what you thought he would. You have Kelvin Benjamin doing exactly what I thought he did, a little disappointing for me. I thought he would run a little better, but at 6'3 and 3/8 and at about 240 pounds, much more than a 4.6 is very adequate. On the defensive side, everyone wants to talk about Jadeveon Clowney and how his work ethic is bad and all of this other things. That's great right now. That's great talk right now, but when it comes draft time, when every GM in the NFL will tell you that they're not going to let him get out of that top three range, simply put, he's the best pass rusher we've seen since either Julius Peppers or Mario Williams. One of the best guys I've seen with his hands. At the point of attack, he's so fast off of the ball. You really can't reproduce that, and you don't see guys come around like that. And in the NFL nowadays, and with it being a passing league, the objective of the defense is not cover for as long as you can, but get to the quarterback. There's only one Jadeveon Clowney, and ultimately I feel like he's a – I think for me personally – I am one of those guys that think he should be at least a top three pick, because simply it is about getting to the quarterback, and the teams that you're looking at that will be picking in the top three, you have Houston at one, having to get to Andrew Luck and having to win it against Andrew Luck and those Colts, who for the next few years, at least the next 10 years, you need to get to Andrew Luck. You look at a team like the Rams, the St. Louis Rams, they need to get to guys like Russell Wilson, Carson Palmer, whoever comes in to be the Cardinals quarterback. And you also look at Colin Kaepernick, you need to get to him. When you have guys like that, you need to get to the quarterback. Jadeveon Clowney does all of those things. Go ahead.
I guess I feel like the measurables, the athleticism, it's easy. It's easy, and it's kind of common sense that you take that approach. You know, he's going into the draft. He has a lot of hype around him, and all of the measurables say that that is exactly who he is and what he will do because of the speed, the explosiveness. But when we turn on the tape from last year, just to brush the question to the side kind of kills credibility, because if you're not going to address the downside, it's like you're ignoring it as if it's not there. That's just my take, but, you know, he blazed the 40 using the rim and made the 40.
And to retort to that, to come back.
Blazed the 40 and then he quit.
For me, I look at 1 year of film doesn't tell me everything I need to know about a player. It's your body of work. It's just like that old adage, one game doesn't define your career. Jadeveon Clowney went into this season knowing he essentially said, I already know.
He only had 1 year of film before that, though. So people can't judge it off of that either. He could be what he was the first year, or he could be what he was the second year.
He had 2 years of film before that. And for me, it was when I saw him his first year, his freshman year, becoming a situational pass rusher to becoming that dominator that we saw. It wasn't all about the hit against Michigan. It was more the technique side of it. You saw the hands, you saw the feet, you saw the explosiveness in his sophomore year to his junior year, where he's getting double and triple teamed, and he's affecting how the offense – he dictates how the offense is run, where you're dedicating two, maybe three offensive linemen. It's not all about the sacks and the numbers. It's also about how you can dictate how the offense goes. It's not always about the sack. It's about rushing the quarterback, changing the angle of the throw, make a quarterback make a bad throw and make him uncomfortable. If it was all about sack numbers, you'd have a lot of other guys that would be out there to be that number one guy. But when you mix the physical talent that you see, 6'4", 270, guy like that running a 4.4, that really doesn't – the 4.4, 40, you can have that. That's great and all, but no defensive lineman actually runs a 4.
You're absolutely accurate there. The speed to size and speed to weight ratio is insane. It is absolutely insane. It's more impressive than some of the smaller guys running in the 4.4s and even 4.3s, but – it just I wonder how his approach to the game and understanding how valuable he is kind of jives with what I like to talk about in competitive greed. Like, where is the fire to compete when you know that you're going to get paid, you're going to be paid, you're going to stay paid? I don't have to do much. I don't love the game.
You know what?
No,
it'd be awesome. And Fred, your points are accurate, because it's not about the stats, and I agree. When you're able to command a double team on damn near every play, and you change how the offense has to call their plays and how they, you know, go through their playbook and play their game, your value is phenomenal. But to be Austin's point, it makes a difference. Once you're paid, that's what separates, like, the guys who can play from the good players and the good players from the great players. Once you've already made it, in essence, I mean, you know, you come from where he comes from and you make it to the NFL, you live your dream, you're a top five pick, are you still going to be hungry enough to go out there and do what you're paid to do? Some guys can't. I think that's what makes him one of the most interesting players in this draft, because I don't fall on either side. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I'm anxious to see. I'm anxious to see if he can – you know, have that dog in him, like, you know, a Lawrence Taylor or a Reggie White, some of the great defensive players had, where it was about being great. These guys were wealthy, they were taken care of, but at the end of the day, they still wanted to go out and make a difference. So I'm anxious to see the draft for that reason. I'm not going to say I'm completely sold on him, like some people say. I'm not going to say I'm completely down on him, but I think he's the most interesting. Him, and of course, Johnny Football is always interesting, but that's what makes this draft interesting.
We got Brandon Pemberton on the line from Sports Trap Radio, so I'm gonna bring him on real quick and get his opinion on the whole Clowney situation.
Absolutely, and you know Brandon studies the draft
What's up, fellas?
Brandon, what's going on?
Brandon is the hood Mel Kiper, yo.
Yo, get him.
What's your thoughts on the whole Clowney situation and the combine, all that stuff?
I mean, he did what I expected him to do. Ran in the 4.5s, jumped well, did the broad jump. The thing is with him, you know what I mean, they overreact to certain things when it comes to certain players. In my opinion, the combine, like no guy stock drops or goes up to me just because of the combine. A guy, you know what I mean, will work out and he might run a fast time like Phillip Gaines from Rice. I've seen Phillip Gaines from Rice play 3-4 times this year. I mean, he looked okay. He come out, he run a 4.339 or 4.36, whatever he ran. I'm like, all right, well, let me go back and watch this guy some more. You know what I mean? A guy like Isaiah Crowell, who was at Georgia, was the rookie of the year, got kicked out of school, went to Alabama State. I knew he had – Isaiah Crowell has more physical talent than any running back in his draft. Isaiah Crowell came there. He came in shape. He ran a 4.57 at 5'11", 225 pounds. I already seen his tape. Now, the only flags on Isaiah Crowell is the fact he had the gun charge, which was thrown out, and he failed multiple drug tests at Georgia, and they had to kick the number two recruit in the country. Clowney was one that year. Crowell was two. That's how good Crowell is. So for a guy like him, a guy like Terrence West from Townsend, the combine for Terrence West, who played at Townsend, a FCS school, scored 40-something touchdowns this year, ran for 2,500 yards, he had to come there and show that he was as athletic as the other guys that played in the D1 schools, and he did that. He came there, he ran a 4.5 at 220-something pounds. Damn for him. Clowney really didn't have to do much. We already knew what kind of athlete Clowney was. You know what I mean? The only question that people had with Jadeveon Clowney is, you draft him, is he going to come and bring his lunch pail every day? Is he going to go out all day? Now, sophomore year, he did that. Freshman year, he did that. This year he played 90% snaps, for one. Nobody's going to sit and tell me, if you out there playing 90% of the snaps, that you're going to be 100% every time. It's not going to happen. Two is games in which he was double and triple teamed, so the sack numbers were down. But if you still watch the tape on those games, he still managed to cause havoc. He still managed to tip passes. He still managed to make quarterbacks rush and change what they were doing inside of the pocket. Now, if the Texans decide to draft him, and just how Justin Smith and Alden Smith play next to each other for the 49ers, You put them two together on the same side, and what's going to happen? Outside of
so it sound like you and Fred basically agree on this. And you guys, you know, basically watch more film, more college film than anybody we know. So it looks like you guys are actually seeing the same thing. So, you know.
I agree with him. I really see, and I can see that comparison with Jadeveon Clowney possibly on that with that first round pick, with that number one overall pick. Regardless of the scheme, you'll find a way to put him in there with J.J. Watt, because when you have two dynamic pass rushers like that, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, and on film, during his 3 years there, it's been different times in which Clowney has dropped back in the coverage. I mean, he's more than athletic and agile enough to stand up and play 3-4 outside linebacker. When Willie McGinnis came out of USC, Willie McGinnis was the same size, maybe even bigger than Clowney, and Willie McGinnis made a career playing, standing up and playing outside linebacker, and Clowney's a better athlete than he was. It can be done.
All right, well, that's what's up. B, thanks for your call, man. You know, we'll definitely be in touch. Tell everybody how they can listen to Sports Trap Radio.
Every Thursday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/the Sports Chronicles Radio Network. And then now on Tuesday nights, you can catch me on National Gridiron Network weekly from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., all football show, college, high school, pro, CFL, everything. That's National Gridiron Network WarRoomSports.com.
No doubt. No doubt. And in about a month, you can also catch him on that War Room Sports Podcast Network. Thanks for your call,
man. DFL in high school. Brandon plays no games. The hardest working man in sports, man.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so, yeah, like I said, it sounds like because he called in, he wanted to get in on that conversation because he agreed with a lot of stuff that Fred was saying. And like I said, when it comes to this college stuff, I definitely defer to you two guys because you guys are film junkies. You know what I'm saying?
I just think that
makes
him interesting.
We'll see.
Makes him interesting.
He does have the downside of, people think that he's on his Randy Moss. Like, he might not go hard all the time or he might have an attitude problem. So we'll see how that affects, because he seems to be a freak, at least athletically, maybe not strength-wise because his bench press wasn't.
Here's the thing, though. That can actually work the other way.
And I can actually,
that could motivate him too. That could motivate him and make him more of a monster. We never know.
And I can actually I have to disagree on that the bench press reps as well. Jadeveon Clowney has really long arms in the bench press. The bench press is actually more helpful to a guy that has shorter arms. When you have shorter arms, because the guys that really, the defensive linemen that really tend to actually do that are guys like Scott Crichton, as well as. As if I remember his name correctly, it was Stephen Paya from Oregon State last year. He put it up over about close to 40 times simply because he had very short arms, and you don't have to put it up as high.
All right. Well, that's what's up. Everything is going down. Before I get out of here,
can I address your – I heard you guys talking about Michael Sam and how his draft stock has been up and down a little bit. I've been one of those folks that have been out there saying I've never really been high on him as far as a outside linebacker, and that's what he's going to be ultimately. He's too small to play. He's a tweener, and he'll be a situational guy. But once I saw him at the combine, he doesn't flip his hips well. He's not all that explosive. Really and truly, within NFL circles, whether it's GMs, whether it's people that follow the draft, they see him more as a late fifth-round pick, maybe a seventh-round pick. It was never a second, third, or fourth-round type of guy because simply he was very undersized. He wasn't that explosive. And right now, just the publication of him being the first openly gay athlete to be drafted, that is really more – it's more of a media thing more than it is an actual football thing.
That's definitely where
you can take more of
his height.
More
of his height
is
coming from that
than
coming from his game.
Really.
But
did
I tell
that,
you one
did
shot
that,
on
that whole
Sam
thing hurt
because
him
of
by
the media value.
The media value.
Did that hurt him?
Franchise.
What I'm saying, what I'm saying is, did his performance suffer because of all the attention and all the pressure and all the eyes that were on him because of
I
the
think
announcement?
So.
Do you think it kind
of? Well,
I don't know
if he choked because of that, but I think
no
pun it's going to hurt him in the long run, Fred, because more because, like Jimmy said, more eyes are on him because of his announcement. And now people are starting to be like, oh, this guy's not as good as we thought he was. And, so I think it's going to hurt him a little bit.
I think.
But also, what will it do to the league? Let's say he's not drafted. The backlash that comes to that,
He's going to lead the league in jersey sales next year, that's for sure.
I don't think it hurt him as much as it did. I don't think it hurt his draft stock. It just confirmed a lot of things that we knew. Yes, he was the co-defensive player of the year in the SEC, and there's a lot to be said about that. But when you also have another guy on the other side of you, when you're a great defensive end and you have another bookend on your other side, it makes things a lot easier for you. Now that he goes on to the NFL, he's going to be going up against bigger guys. And if they're asking him to make drops, being a defensive end and having to drop, it is a lot more difficult than many think to be able to flip your hips, turn and run, and as well as the responsibilities of not only playing in zone coverage, not only playing in man coverage, but also knowing, should I blitz, should I not blitz, can I actually go over this running back, take on this running back and take this block on, getting to that quarterback while taking on a tight end or another tackle being chipped.
Yeah.
All right, man, tell everybody where they can catch up with you on the net.
You guys can reach me on Twitter at FProduceSports, as well as you can hit me up on the website, heavyinthegames.com. I'll be on the NFL draft, be on spring football coverage. That's starting up as well. College football spring coverage is going to be here. So heavyinthegames.com is the place to be.
All right, man.
Thanks for
joining us as usual, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Definitely.
Heavy in the Games, everybody. All right, we're down to like 30 minutes, so we got to move on because we got some important stuff that we want to talk about. Real quick, though, I just want to mention a few things. We all know that the 2014 Sochi Winter Olympics are now over. Did any of you guys watch it intently, or was it just something on every night?
No.
Yeah. Like, Jimmy can attest that I didn't even know it was over when it was over. He had to remind me that it was over.
Dev was asking me about an event. I'm like, yo, the Olympics been over for a couple of days, boss.
I was about to drop a blog that somebody sent us that I had forgot to put out last week. I'm like, well, that's still going on, so it's still relevant. Jimmy's like, no.
I said, yo, that blog is dope, but the event is over with, yo. Like, they already had the closing ceremonies, and, you know, it is what it is.
I was wondering why when I flipped past on Sunday night they was playing like that sad music. I didn't know it was over, though. So somebody just lost that was supposed to win.
Yeah.
All right, so basically the final medal count, of course,
Dragon
Russia. The home team led with 33 total medals. They also led with 13 total gold medals. Norway had 26 total medals, Canada 25, the United States 28 total, but only 9 gold. So, and then followed up by the Netherlands, Germany, and Switzerland. To all the people that watch, I hope you enjoyed it. I can't wait for the Summer Olympics in 2016. That's more my twist. But real quick, fellas, did you guys hear that Ozzie Smith, Hall of Fame shortstop Ozzie Smith, along with Budweiser, course, and Anheuser-Busch Company, they are lobbying the federal government to make MLB opening day a national holiday. You guys got any brief thoughts on that? Did you want to see opening day as a national holiday?
I don't know how you justify that, but I think it would be dope.
You justify Columbus Day? Columbus got a holiday.
I mean, well, you don't want me to start on that,
Terry. Yeah, buddy. Go ahead, Jimmy. Tell them about Columbus.
I mean, no, we got 29 minutes. So I ain't going to start on that terrace.
Baseball is more American than Christopher Columbus, right?
Columbus is a terrorist.
This is my thing. Like, we know how many people actually take off work or skip school to attend opening day. I even thought about it myself since, you know, my son is not of school age yet, so I was thinking for the next 2 years or so, maybe it would be cool for me to just take him out of daycare for a day, ride up to Philly, and watch opening day. So I'm not opposed to it. Like you said, it's kind of a ridiculous notion, and you wonder how it would get justified. And a lot of people, when we pose that question on our social media sites, you know, express how ridiculous they think it is. But I guarantee you everybody who came in saying that it was ridiculous in FOH, I'm sure they'd take that day off. You know, if they were offered a day off, you know, whether they went through a baseball game or not. Now, the only thing about it as it stands right now, opening day, everybody doesn't even play. And everybody, of course, it's not possible for everybody to have a home game. So that's where some people will run into problems because you'd take off. If you were really a big baseball fan and you were for this holiday – and you take off and there was no game in your town, then that would be kind of tricky. But I wouldn't mind. Why would I complain? Like I said, Christopher Columbus has a holiday, so why would I complain? There's a petition going around that Ozzy and Budweiser started, and they have to get 100,000 signatures for the president to even – you know, take a look at it. I'm pretty sure they'll get that. Even the people who aren't being serious and they just want to sign it just for laughs and giggles, it'll get to the president's desk. So we'll see where this goes. What do you think, B.L.?
Ozzie Smith.
I'm cool with time off from work. In any case, I kind of thought, Ozzie, could you have found another cause to hit your wagon to as we look at some of our older African American athletes and some of the things that they stood for.
He's a baseball Hall of Famer.
But what?
What else?
You hear Beyonce calling him to the carpet, the Michael Jordan stand he is. Why did Michael Jordan? I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna chill.
I can't speak on why Michael did this or that, but Muhammad Ali, the great Cassius Clay, stood for a lot, and Bill Russell stood for a lot. So Ozzy, FOH with opening day, although I will take off if and take advantage of it.
What would you like him to stand for? Martin Luther King already got a day. What would you like him to stand for?
I think he should get a petition passed that they should lock up kids
Martin
who wear
day.
Tight jeans.
Trayvon Martin Day.
Yeah. Okay.
How can we get
what Martin Luther King did for
Malik Abdul Aziz Day, man.
Oh,
El Hajj Malik El Shabazz Day, one of them.
Ah, that's a day to have. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
So
yo, by the way,
y'all know who
Malik Abdul Aziz is, yo? That's Mike Tyson's Muslim name.
That's Mike.
He also agreed with me though.
I didn't have no clue.
I knew that was Mike. Yo, anyway, man, let's move on. Though.
All right, man. Look, we had a few. Well, the biggest story of the week, man, is the fact, and B. Austin and I touched on this topic a little bit in one of our webcasts, an episode of Inside the War Room. On WarRoomSportsTV.com, where we were actually talking about whether or not the NFL was ready for a gay player, this particular topic came up, but it's bigger than the few moments that we gave it as a subtopic in that actual thing. So let's talk about the NFL proposing a rule to penalize athletes on the field for using the N-word. They're proposing that the first time an athlete uses the N-word, it's a 15-yard penalty. I guess unsportsmanlike conduct, racial slur. The second time somebody uses it, then it's an automatic ejection. I guess that's when, you know, you get fined and all that kind of stuff. What do you guys think? I mean, we all know that, you know, it's a word that shouldn't be used. We know black people use it as a, quote-unquote, term of endearment. What the roots of the word, the origin of the word, it shouldn't be used the way it's used in society today. But what do you guys think about the NFL trying to regulate the use of the N-word? Like, is this even?
Yo, I personally have like a love-hate relationship with the word. I probably use it more than everybody who's on this show right now, including all of our listeners, and you can add that to the people who will listen on the podcast because I'm guilty of using the word more than I probably should. But with that being said, I don't know how you add this. And I understand what the NFL is trying to do because it wasn't just the N-word. It was any kind of derogatory term. It was, you know, any kind of gay remarks or anything like that. They didn't want the word maggot used spelled with an F. So it's not just the N-word. They're trying to pretty much curb what's being said. But how do you do that when you have guys in the midst of battle, so to speak? Like, yo, they want these guys to be gentlemen in the middle of playing a very violent sport. They want them to, like, try to knock each other's head off and get up and say, sorry, gentlemen, that was a nice run you just had there. Like, yo, what are you doing? This is football. And I'm not trying to sound like an old fart who's like, oh, the game is changing and all that. But I just don't understand how you can add this as a rule. I mean, you could do anything you want to do, but I'm just saying, in my opinion, if I was a player, I would have a problem with this because you don't know what you're saying in the heat of competition. You'll say anything to your opponent, and, you know, is it how the word is used or is it just if the word is said? You know what I'm saying? Because when you look at the word in general. Yeah,
because you can come out, you know.
In general, I'm more upset with intent as opposed to just language because, to me, words are words, but it's the intent behind the word.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
how do you go about interpreting the intent?
You can't, which is why you leave the whole thing alone.
Right.
Well,
right,
some intent would be obvious. Like, if B. Austin just had a good carry, and I'm his teammate, and I come pick him up, you know, and give him a high five and say,
my
ninja.
Go ahead, my ninja.
You know what I'm saying?
My
I'm gonna get a penalty for that. I'm going to get a penalty for that, and there was no ill intent involved in that. You know, but, you know, I go back to the fact that, you know, black people shouldn't be using it anyway. But I told B. Austin when we had our discussion about this that it's funny to me that, I mean, because Jimmy did, you know, as Jimmy said, there are other terms that they're going to throw in there. But at the same time, this is the main topic. And we all know this is the main topic. But for me, it's kind of ironic because if you're going to penalize players for it, the people who are going to be getting penalized the most are going to be black people. Because, frankly, black people say it, at least in public, more than any other group out there. You know, there's a lot of other people who might use the word. There's a lot of other people who may use the word who are afraid to say it in public. Like, even with the whole Riley Cooper thing, he didn't know that, you know, somebody was recording him and it was going to get out and millions of people were going to know that he said that. I'm pretty sure he never in his life said it on the field because he's not crazy. So what are you really getting at with this rule? Because I don't want to be the conspiracy theorist. I don't want to be the BP.
I will.
But it seems kind of ironic to me because you're going to come up with something. I guess it's going to – you're trying to make us feel good. Oh, they care about us. They don't want people to say the N-word. But at the same time, black people are going to be the ones getting penalized off this the most because no white guy in his right mind is going to be out on a football field around a whole bunch of black people using the N-word. So what are we really doing here?
Yeah.
That's my question. What are we really doing?
I appreciate you throwing me the alley-oop, good brother, because I thought that yet again on this show you got to go first because I thought you were going to go. I feel the setup, so I appreciate it. Gentlemen, this boils down to one thing and one thing alone. In the United States of America, corporations, companies, and even our esteemed government make decisions based on groups of people and their particular interests. How is that interest weighed? Based on their dollars. Based on their dollars. The NFL... The word nigger has been being used on the football field between African-American players probably going back to the 60s, although at that point in time, you know, there were some questions probably as to civil rights. But I know in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, that word is probably used far and few between amongst white players, and much, much more frequently, as Deb pointed out, amongst black players. Is it an offensive word? Does it have a heinous and terrible history? Should we be using it? Those are the questions that are thrown out on the table. My answers to those, absolutely we shouldn't use it. Absolutely it has a terrible history. But we use it. We use it as a term of endearment. There are those that subscribe to a line of thought that we take the power away from the word by using it. We smack the oppressor back by saying, look, this word that you created doesn't mean that. That's a whole other line of topic.
But then there are the old heads out there who are ashamed.
That's why I said it's a complex topic,
B. Austin.
Because I don't agree with taking the power out of words, but I'm also not one it's very complex. It's deep because I understand your logic,
but
and I heard the argument.
I'm going someplace with this though, Jimmy, because
I don't think that
they're stopping or abolishing the use of the word because they really care. What they're doing is if you stop the use of one word for one group and you can justify it as offensive, you can then abolish the use of any word that is heard on the football field that is deemed offensive for a group.
F-word.
What has been done is the NFL has done their marketing study, done their research. They're a multi-billion-dollar organization, and they've identified the gay community, the gay community as one of the next levels of consumer that they want to bring in. That's a demographic that spends their spending power is out of this world. So if we're getting to a point in society where things are more permissive, things are more light, you know, we're really embracing all groups of people and being inclusive, we're now going to see a lot of hopefully, well, the thought is hopefully we'll see a lot more gay, LGBTQ athletes come to the forefront, they have to abolish everything that's offensive so that the word maggot, take the M out and put the F out, and anything else that's offensive to that group of people is completely gone. They're starting with black folks because it's the easiest word to abolish, and the largest contingent of players or group of players in the NFL is black, 72% African-American. The use of the word nigger is prevalent. The use of the word maggot with an F is probably prevalent. And other words, oh, that's gay, or oh, that's, you know, you can't, we don't, people don't say that thinking of it to offend gay people, but it is offensive. Just like the word nigger, when used to black folks from black to black, isn't offensive, but when a white person uses it, it's offensive. They don't have that problem. But the use of gay, of words that are offensive to gay people, is probably still more prevalent than they'd like, and they're going to start slowly but surely to eradicate anything that's offensive so that they have an equal ground to say you cannot use those words as well. We're just the first, we're the test group. We're the test group. That's my logic. That's my theory.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I thought that in this, if I'm not mistaken, that was, they were trying to eradicate those words already as well, the maggot spell with the F. Like, that was already in here. And I get your point of using it as a test group. I just think that this is going to be very hard to legislate, you know, because it's going to affect the game. I mean, because first of all, majority of the league is, I'm not sure. What's the numbers in terms of African-Americans in the NFL?
72%. 72%,
yeah, 72% are African-American. I'm pretty sure a large percentage of that use the word. Whether the word is, the power is being taken back from the word, that's a whole different debate that we probably can go 2 hours with. The origin of the word, and some people say, well, we're saying the G-A and not the G-E-R. That's a whole nother topic in debate. You know, whether it derives from the actual word nigard, that's a whole nother debate. So I said this topic is very complex. But looking at it from the football standpoint, like Devin started the question with, I mean, I just don't like this, man. I mean, at what point do you stop? I mean, yo, I understand what the NFL is trying to do, but, yo, you're playing a violent game. Like, it's sort of like they want these guys to be, like, gentlemen on the field. The way they call the game now, and now they're trying to legislate what they say on the field to each other, it's like, I just don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't like it. Let's put it that way. I get it,
but
the argument
from, I'm not even going to say the black community, because really there will be no significant argument from the black community, I believe, one way or the other. The argument from other groups of people where words are used that are still deemed as offensive, the argument there is going to be, well, you can play the game without and be effective without using such, you know, such language and such terms. And so the problem that I have with it is twofold. Number one, you're trying to legislate people's behavior, which is within the rights of the NFL. You do work for them.
No, it is. They can do what they want to
do. And then the second thing is you're legislating people's behavior and you're creating an environment that's disingenuous. Because now I'm watching my P's and Q's and what I do, not because of something I believe in, but more so because I'm scared of public opinion and I'm scared of it really hitting my wallet. And so
the thing about it is, it's like, to me, it's more about intent. It's more about intent than the actual word. To me, like, words don't mean anything. It's the intent behind your words that means something to me. And I understand how some people are offended by words. I'm just not that way personally, but I get it. But with that being said, where does it stop? The thing that bothered me most about society in general is we live in a society where everybody's a victim. It's like, yo, you're racist. I'm a white guy. Now you have reverse racism. I'm a Jewish guy. You're racist against me, or I'm a midget, or I'm a tall guy, or I'm a fat person, or I'm skinny. Everybody is a victim these days. When you talk to people, or you read what's going on, or I'm gay, or I'm not gay, so now you're discriminating against me because you're trying to protect the gay person. Like, or I'm Christian, or I'm Muslim, or I'm Catholic. It's like we have gotten so far apart as people, and we separate ourselves based upon religious beliefs, based upon, you know, sexual orientation. Like, everybody is a victim these days. All day long, it's always about the victim. And like B. Austin said, you try to protect you try to protect small minorities and you change things. So my thing is, at what point does it stop? And how do you legislate this? What if everybody decides to say, look, we're not going to say nigger, we're going to say ninja? Do you get a, do you lose 10 yards for ninja and 15 for nigger? Like,
it's the same,
I mean, what
the same,
do you do?
Saying the same word.
What about us going there and
it's
start
it's
calling
funny,
you dirty Catholic?
You
like, if I call somebody a dirty Catholic, do I get 10 yards for that too?
I'm staunchly against it, and I'm gonna use Jimmy's logic.
Good tackle,
to
poor
really
white
solidify.
Trash. Like, what do you do? Like, get 15 yards?
Yo, I'm taking Jimmy's logic and really solidifying my point based on Jimmy's logic. If you're gonna make these changes, it's really not the duty of the NFL to affect change, because it's not going to affect change in the broader society. So if you have a problem with the use of the word niggas and white people are not using it towards black people, then what you're saying is you have a problem with blacks using it, period, which is okay. But now what you need to do is take an initiative that goes all the way down to primary school and all the way down to, you know, these communities that these athletes come from, the broader culture that uses that word. That's what you have to attack, and that's not the business that the NFL is in. So it's a disingenuous move. The fact that there are certain segments of society that will take a bigger stand based on things that offend them is really where you're going, because you recognize and realize the dollars and cents that stand behind that group. And capturing market share is about what selling a product or service is about. So in order to capture that market share, you have to appease that group, right? But it's crazy, because even those groups, you want to use the victimology, you know, angle, those folks are victims of discrimination, of human rights violations. Okay, you have to speak to the broader culture and the larger landscape of society and attack where those things come from. You can't get mad at the use of certain things on a football field where it's not that important and the players themselves are not going to be offended outside of a small group. So
you're right.
This is
a complex topic. First of all, I just want to give a shout-out to Rob. Rob called in. We can't get to the call right now. We got a couple minutes left, but, Rob, we appreciate the support. Shout-out to Rob for calling in. But, Dev, I know you wanted to weigh in more on this topic. What else you got to say here, brother?
I basically said my piece. I just didn't understand where they're going with this. I'm with you guys. I don't understand how you can really legislate what people are saying. Like, and I'm not justifying the word, no matter how it's meant. You know, in a negative intent, a positive intent, you know, it's a word that shouldn't be used, but I don't think we should be throwing flags in the chest.
I don't even know if I agree with that, but that's
anywhere.
A whole other debate. And, yo, our phone lines are blowing up. We apologize, people. We only got a couple minutes left on air.
Yeah, we got one more thing. One more thing I want to ask you guys about.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to discuss this whole N-word and NFL thing on War Room Sports TV. So watch out for that coming up soon. We might have some special guests on to talk about it with us.
Me and my N-words is going to talk about it. Go ahead, though.
Real quick before we go.
My nigga.
What did you guys think about the rant by Stephen A. Smith last week about excessive tattoos in sports?
Wow, that's another interesting topic. I get
where
he's coming
from. We're definitely
not going
to have enough time for all of this.
Man, for those who don't know, it's on our Facebook page. He was kind of talking about NBA players and the amount of tattoos they have. And you know how younger guys look up to them and they get tattoos in their neck, and some people aren't able to get employment based upon the tattoos. Man, that's another heavy topic. I get where he was coming from.
Lack of fathers.
Yeah, and it's crazy because that's not even a race thing. I mean, some people took it as a race thing, but, yo, it's white cats out here, too, who have sleeves. And it's one of these things where as time goes on, yo, society just changes. It's like society doesn't stand for anything anymore. As some things hit critical mass, people just accept them. And that's everything in culture these days. So for me, I'm amazed at the amount of people I see in the corporate world who hold certain positions, who have sleeves and tattoos in their neck. Because I remember years past, and I was a kid, where if you had tattoos like that, you couldn't get hired anywhere. So I think that society is actually changing with that. We've become less formal as a country. So that's another deep topic. And as B. Austin always says, culture has changed in sports with competitive greatness. That's his favorite phrase. And we just become accepting of things, man. And so I get where he was coming from, but I don't know if I necessarily agree. But I see his point.
I see his point, and I think he was talking more, like he's not talking about the LeBron Jameses and people like that, because he did make it a point to say, you know, certain guys have made it, but everybody
is
such
the
a
guys
follower.
Who are following LeBron James, who's still
that,
in the hood.
The guys who following them, out, you know, not even, you know, non-NBA players, just people that are, you know, like in corporate America, that type of stuff doesn't fly. And he gave an example of one of his female friends who wanted to go in somewhere wearing their hair some certain way, and she got let go from her job because, you know, I don't know. It's one of those situations where
and that's the thing. Do you remember? I think it was Hampton.
If that's
I think
what you have to do, you have to play that game. This is why, you know, I try to put myself in a position where I don't have to play a game. That's why I want to, you know, that's why I open businesses, and rather than, I just don't like working for people.
So you don't have to play the game.
When you
and
work
I totally
for people,
get that.
There's a certain amount of laws that go in place. I mean, even think about it here, Jimmy, even what we do is very relaxed. But I probably would have something to say, like if somebody wanted to work for us and we got bigger and we're doing stuff that's visible, and I'm not really sending a dude into a meeting who has tattoos all over his neck and face.
But you know what's crazy?
And he could be the smartest dude on earth, but it's perception, and we all know that. So it
perception
may not be
becomes
my perception,
reality. But what I was
but
alluding to is how things are changing, though. A lot of it has to do with, like you know, the tech boom. A lot of entrepreneurs who started businesses who just don't go by the same paradigm that was once used in business. Things are changing. But I remember when Hampton tried to legislate like their students in the business school couldn't have.
Locks.
I think it was braids or dread, a locks or something like that.
It was both. Yeah, like both.
And they got a huge amount of backlash. And the fact of the matter is, like, things are turning the other way. I'm not saying it's a good
black
thing.
University to
legislate. Yeah, I mean
that's
a whole nother issue.
To legislate against
y'all
ethnic
boys,
hairstyles, that's just an oxymoron right there.
Yo, y'all bought some heavy-handed issues with like 30 minutes left in the show. We got to start from the beginning.
I definitely feel as though, and I use us, and I think, you know, Dev, you did a great job of making us really the analogy. War Room Sports, there are members of this esteemed company, establishment, and gang called War Room Sports that have tattoos. They have a choice, and the way that they are worn
tattoos,
and displayed.
I got long hair. I got a long-ass beard, and I don't care. But at the end of the day,
but you're an owner.
I get his point.
Not an employee.
Yeah.
I get his
you're
point.
Not
that's
an
what
employee.
I'm saying. But
right.
I get his point.
So the people that follow these players are not in the same position as these players. And so is there a measure of social responsibility that a basketball player or a celebrity or you know, anybody in the public eye that has a quote unquote following, is there a social responsibility?
Another heavy-handed topic.
But I don't think you can legislate it. I don't think you can. They just have to come to a measure of understanding. The change in society is real, Jimmy. The change in society is real. It's definitely happening. But my thing is this: coming from a banking background, if you walk into the more traditional infrastructure-heavy pieces of society where you need, whether it's banking, law, medical field.
But I think we got to get out of here, be awesome. But I think even that's changing. Like, we have a number of mayors who have tattoos
resistance.
And dreads these days. But, last point I want to make is we got to get out of here is if you think that people don't follow these NBA athletes, I've literally seen people on the playground with exact tattoos as, like, basketball players. Like, and yo, I've seen people copy that Kobe tattoo, which might be the worst tattoo in the history of tattoos. Also, we got to get out of here. Shout out to Joel. I see his number on the board, too, but we got to roll. We'll take it to Facebook. Thanks for joining us in the War Room family. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, for the calls who chimed in when we got to. We appreciate it. For those we couldn't get to, we apologize. But, you know, we hit these topics very late, and there were some deep topics. Thanks again to Fred Perdue for talking about his favorite player in the history of the universe, Jadeveon Clowney. But, tune in next week, same time, same place, for some great sports talk. We'll see you around the world of sports once again then. Also, Facebook.com/WarmanSports, Twitter.com/WarmanSports, Instagram, WarmanSports. We're all over the Internet. Movie heads, enjoy the Oscars. Watch me and Dev's video about the Oscars. Catch all of our conversations on video format on WarmanSportsTV.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we'll see you chumps on top.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323 Smoking 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push. Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.